Welcome to Africa Straight Talk. We are Africa's unapologetic podcast that brings you discussions of matters of the African continent in a very unique and straightforward way. My name is Emmanuel Nado. We thank you for your unwavering support of our podcast. My co-host is my colleague Kaboshi Imbukwa. She is the producer and editor of our show. With us is our friend and fellow podcaster Kwesi Wilson. He is an educator and host of the podcast Telling Tall Stories. Welcome to the show, my friends. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
You sound so downbeat.
Really?
What's happened?
Yeah, well, it's been a crazy weekend. Friday I was out, Saturday I was out. You know, I think I'm growing old. I can't do this anymore.
Well, I thought you had a very busy night.
It was a busy night. Two busy nights. It's too much. You know, when you get to a certain age, that's it.
That's like, a loaded statement, but it's a carry on.
That's it. Carry on.
What do you mean by loaded? It's not. I had the busy night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was busy, you know, out there mingling with people. Mm. It's a lot.
Mingling where? Where were you mingling?
In Alameda.
Oh.
I was out with friends in Alameda. Two nights. Friday and Saturday.
Was that the, what's the name of that wine bar?
Karibu, yeah.
Karibu.
Yeah. I was at Karibu on Friday, celebrating a birthday. And then Saturday, I hung out with a friend, went to a dive bar in Alameda.
How come we don't get invited to Karibu?
Yeah. Let's go over there one of these days.
We never know when the events are happening. It's just, you know, it's kept in the Kenyan bubble. And then you see everything on Facebook. Say, I would have loved to go.
You know what, Kwesi? You know,
and a little birdie told me if you go Kenya, you never go back. So
it's true. if you go there,
I would like to be there.
Okay, Kwesi, let's all go there then.
And let's
Y'all want to go there? Y'all want to go there? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So next time you go, invite us.
Right.
You know what? But, you know, I've been waiting for an invitation for this Ghana jollof rice for so long. But when is it happening? There's no date.
Let's make it next weekend.
Okay.
No, I can't next. Which day? What time next weekend?
She's going to another dive bar.
It's not happening. Every day someone says.
Listen. Next weekend, I'm having a brunch thing with some friends on Saturday.
Any friends?
Yes, there's a group of girls that we're having a brunch thing.
We're going to brunch next weekend.
Yeah, okay, next weekend, let's go.
Y'all are just acting jealous. Okay, let's set a date for this jollof. What about today? What are we doing today after this?
Today is not good for all of us.
Yeah.
It's good for me.
Things are planned ahead. Come on.
Things are planned ahead.
We are in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are in the United States of America. You're right. What's happening on the 14th? Something is happening on the 14th. Oh, I'm going on a hike on the 14th.
Oh, okay.
Next weekend on Sunday, and then Saturday I have a brunch thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what? I can do the jollof on Sunday after the hike because the hike usually ends at around 12, 1 o'clock. Right? That's enough time to cook it.
Exactly.
Right? We could do next Sunday.
Next Sunday, okay.
Where are you hiking at?
Concord.
Oh, Concord, okay.
We're going to, let me see. We're going to some park in Concord. It's called, give me a second.
That is
Tyler
in my backyard.
Tyler Ranch.
That is in my backyard.
Oh,
Tyler
yeah.
Ranch trail. I've never been there, so it's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. You guys want to come for the hike?
No, thank you.
No, but he has to cook.
He has to cook. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, there are going to be more hikes. I mean, I can send
another
you the...
Another time.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so did you guys feel the earthquake on Saturday?
What earthquake?
I thought it was New York. East Coast.
Yeah, I thought it was East Coast.
And the East Coast, yeah, that's true. There was one in the East Coast, in New Jersey, New York. But then we had one here on Saturday. Yeah. On Saturday morning, I think about 11:30, around that time, I was sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden, the whole thing shook.
Oh, wow. No, yeah. I didn't feel anything.
Yeah. You know, we brush our teeth to earthquakes in California, so... I don't know if you feel it anymore.
We're so used to it.
You're used to it.
It's like everyday life now. We're just waiting for the big one. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what have people been doing over the weekend? We talked about me so much. What about you guys?
Me?
Well, nothing special. It has been beautiful nowadays, but nothing special. Just the usual.
Been home at gym and back home.
Oh, speaking of gym, Kwesi, I wanted to invite you for a class. You know it's a gym. It's a nice one. You like it? We use weights.
People who don't know what they're doing in the gym. I'm a trainer. I should be leading the class.
Okay, then come and lead the class.
No, thank you.
What do you mean?
You know, I remember very, very...
He doesn't want to have a woman tell him what to do.
If it's a show him what woman, to I'm do. Coming.
Well, you can be behind me and watch me.
He's trying to really get you, Kwesi.
She said behind her.
Correct and correct me when I'm doing the wrong thing.
It's not even funny.
and you can come, if she's not doing something correct, you can come behind her and just move her in the side.
Show me exactly.
You know, it's the gym, not the club, right?
Exactly. It's not a nice club, man. I mean, I remember many years ago in Oakland, there used to be a gym on Grand Avenue, right by the lake.
Gold Gym.
Gold Gym? No, Gold Gym. I don't know.
You know, Kwesi, when Nado says long time ago in Oakland, he means way before anyone's time.
I just thought about that.
Gold Gym is on Broadway.
It's on Broadway and Grand Avenue.
But this one I'm talking on Grand Avenue, right across from the lake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, across from the park. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, really? By across from the lake.
By the library. When you cross
the
library.
It wasn't called Gold Gym. That's what
it became. Gold Gym. It's something else now.
I think it's SF Fitness or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it is now.
We used to call it a meat place.
Oh, that's the meat place is now San Leandro.
Okay.
That's the meat marketplace is where she takes her classes at.
We used to call it a meat marketplace.
And I see what they do. The people go and stand behind there and watch her.
I didn't know an invitation to a gym class would end up like that. It's just
it was very expensive. You had to you had to be a member annually, you know, things like that. And I used to go over there for, at the time they had aerobic was new thing. Everybody were dancing with the music. And there was this guy, I went one day, and there was this guy, this white dude, old man, he's standing in the back. He wasn't doing all the movement. He wasn't doing all the exercise, all the activity. He was just there throwing his hand. And I look at this guy, he's just right here, by, you know, he's here just for washing, washing the meat.
Being a pervert.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway. Let's talk about our beloved continent.
Oh, wow. Lord.
Something
what
great.
What has it done today? Oh, sorry.
No, something great. Something great happened in West Africa and Senegal. As you guys know, they had an election. And the election was not rigged. And there were no people complaining that it was rigged. it was just a crushing victory of a guy who was in jail a week before that.
Why was he in jail?
Well, of course, he was the former president of Senegal, Macky Sall, the outgoing president.
Yeah.
He was so afraid of this guy and his colleague about the, and he was afraid of the party. He knows that Ousmane Sonko and Bassirou Diomaye Faye. So he was manipulating, he was doing all kind of things to put them in jail so that they won't be able to run.
Oh, wow.
Both of them were in jail. Ousmane Sonko was in jail for a long, long, long time. And his colleague, Bassirou Diomaye Faye, was in jail for, I think, for a week or something like that. And they both were released a week before the election. So they only had a week
to campaign.
Yes.
And they won.
So the Sonko guy couldn't run because apparently he had a conviction. So are you saying that Faye didn't have a conviction?
Bassirou Diomaye Faye did not have a conviction.
I see. But so what is the there?
Well, you know how this African dictator do, you know? Whenever they know that you are a credible opponent, they trump up something and then they put you in jail. You know, they accuse him of something. Even Ousmane Sonko, they didn't have no proof of what they were accusing him of. But they just, first of all, since last year, he was in his residence. He was forbidden to get out of his residence. But I mean, I don't want to go through the long history of his fight against the former regime, but he is the one, because he knew he was still in jail. He knew that he won't be able to run, so he asked his colleague of the same, Bassirou Diomaye Faye. He asked, okay, but you know what? Since I cannot run legally, you can go run for our party.
Political party, yeah. So he started at what you call it in 2014, the party in 2014. Yeah. But before that, they had this, the autonomous of union or tax or whatever. They used to be tax collectors.
And yeah, they used to be tax collectors. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now a wait and see how it's going to turn out, right?
But, you know, a couple of interesting things, though.
Yeah.
Couple of interesting things. The salacious part. Now we have the first, I think it's the first African elected official.
Officially. Wife. Yeah.
We have two official first ladies.
Yes.
That's the first.
That is their tradition, and that's what he has been. So, because he's president, he can say that I'm going to take just one wife. No, it's better to have legally two wives than having mistresses all around. You know.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And well. Yeah. Good for him. I don't know. I mean, for me, I don't see anything like wow about him having two wives. Because it is an African thing, right?
You could say
putting
so.
Putting it in a very crazy thing.
I would even argue that it's more of an Islamic thing than an African thing, because there is
he's Muslim.
Africa. Yeah, he's Muslim.
So does that mean that he might, as president, he might change?
I know he went to a Catholic school. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But you know, before the Europeans came, the Islamic Crusaders. Yeah. You know, really converted Africans to Islam before Christianity came. So many of our behavior and things we do also can be tied to Islam,
as opposed
to African. But
that's true.
That delineation, yeah. But
that's true.
It's also the first I've ever heard of any elected official that officially has two people who have an official capacity as first lady. You know, I thought that's unique.
So yeah, and I hope this will be okay to other African presidents to show that yes, you know, we can actually live together, work together peacefully, you know, without having the ridiculous drama. Like, for example, the Kenyan president once upon a time, the late Mwai Kibaki, his wife, his official wife, caused a lot of problems and had him go on live TV to claim that this man only has one wife and this other woman is not an official first lady and it's not an official wife.
Oh, wow.
So, which, yeah, oh, yeah. National TV. It was a press conference. Mm-hmm. He called it. So this would be good to family, show that.
Family feud on national TV.
Yes.
So the people who are really putting that issue out there are the Europeans questioning that. You know what I mean? The European newspaper. I mean, Africans are not questioning that because he embodies the practice of polygamy that which is prevalent in Senegal, Senegal society. So nothing's wrong with that at all. As a matter of fact, one of his wife has four children with him. The other one had no children. They coexist. They coexist
with each other, yeah.
In the olden days, our fathers did that.
Yeah.
My father was married to three wives at one time. Mm. And I live with that. I saw that, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to practice that. You know what I mean? You have to find a woman who will be willing to do that, to accept that. So it's better than having a mistress outside that create a lot of headaches.
Wait, hold on. Now we are moving into the territory of women are do that. Nah, sometimes the men are just, you know, being stupid. Don't you agree?
The thing that comes to mind is, would we be also open to women having, because it's happened historically, where women kings had more than one partners.
Yeah.
You know?
But usually though, in this kind of situation, it's always the woman that moved to the men's house. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, If a woman has two husbands, what will happen? Are the two husbands going to move to her house?
Yes.
Or what?
Or they live in separate houses.
Unless she is a queen and she is wealthy, she's a queen to be able to have a place.
And the people I'm talking about were queens.
Exactly, you see?
They were queens. Yeah. So now we don't have kings and queens ruling the whole people now. But
that is not going to work in our society, actually, right now. The other way around.
A female president, can she have two first gentlemen?
She can. I mean, if a man is allowed two, why can't a woman be allowed two?
Yeah, so,
I mean, I personally wouldn't have two because men are complicated. But nah, why can't a woman?
You don't want two people dancing behind you? God.
No.
She just wants you to be in the gym and be behind her. Just you.
Right?
Why are you laughing? That's what you just said. It's on record.
It's on record and it's going to stay on record.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's so hilarious, man. You see, this is the problem of partying two nights in a row. That's I'm surprised too. I'm really surprised.
I can't even do one night anymore.
Really?
I don't go out. Yeah. I just stay home.
So, anyway, Ousmane,
Senegal.
Yes, back to Senegal. Ousmane Sonko, who was nominated as a prime minister. Ousmane Sonko is actually the architect of the victory of, he became the minister and he formed a cabinet of 25 ministers. How many members of government in Ghana? Kwesi, do you know?
Too many, 100 and something.
And then other places like 40, 50s. this cabinet, his cabinet is 25 ministers.
Nana Akufo-Addo mm-hmm. gave his friends jobs, all his friends.
Exactly.
And so what he did was he doubled the size, because when you're a minister's come from the parliament, right? So when you're a minister, you collect a check for being a member of parliament and another check for being a minister. So you're getting two paychecks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how it works in Kenya, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like that.
Yeah, so you're doubling that because you do more work. Mm. But of course, one falls by the wayside because the minister role becomes the main one, you know. But Daniel Akufo-Addo had like multiple ministers for one, you know, ministry. So let's say education. They have like maybe two ministers and then like two assistant deputies, you know. And he said he was going to use that for checks and balance. And so this person will check this one, this person will check that one or whatever.
Are you serious? That is hilarious.
The interesting thing is we haven't gone back and we haven't stopped at any point to say, okay, so let's look at this formula. Was that productive? Did that lead to good outcomes? Because this is all money leaving the state coffers.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. The money that could be used for social
development.
Because if you're a minister, right, even aside from the paycheck you're pulling, if you're MP, they give you a car, right? And they give you a driver. If you're a minister, you get another car for being a minister and another driver. That car costs money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
But my question about this new president of Senegal, you said that, is it Ousmane? Is the one
Bassirou.
Bassirou.
Bassirou Diomaye Faye is the president.
Is the president. So
Ousmane Sonko.
Ousmane Sonko is the prime minister.
He's a prime minister. He was he's the actual president's former mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He was the one that moved
I wonder,
the office.
You know, usually when something like this happens, one tends to pull the strings and steer, you know, like decision-making and all that stuff because he's working behind the scenes, right? I wonder if that's going to happen, and I wonder if it will maybe lead to some disagreements and, you know, like political fallout in terms of...
No, I don't think at all. I don't think at all because they are in the same party.
They are in the same party.
And like you said, that's true. Ousmane Sonko will be the one that will be pulling because he is the architect of the whole idea of removing this former president, Macky Sall. He wanted to run again for the third time, of course.
The interesting part that I like about the whole thing going on in Senegal, that is how everything dovetails with the Sahelian nations, the three, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, moving away from France because many of the people, the youth out there, I remember seeing a bit of the riots and stuff during the time they were having those debates and stuff. But many of them want to move away from France. And this leader is promised just that and is doing those reforms, talking about coming up with the new currency. I guess moving away from the French, the CFA. And having their own central bank and everything else and just having that autonomy.
What I really want is for, you know, because you still have language is what unifies people, right? And French is still going to be the spoken and written language, form of communication, right?
Well, in the case of Senegal, though, what really unified this country and called the bastion of for democracy is also their language, because the Wolof, the Wolof unified this country. It's not like in Ivory Coast where we have like 85 different languages and we don't know which one to use. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, Mali has
they've done away. Well, sort of, because they still the written communication is still in French, but they've done away with, you know, like French is the national language, but they still have written communication in French, because it for business purposes.
Exactly.
They still have to maintain that until they get everything, you know, they transition out of it. So they just can't stop it like immediately.
I think you cannot stop the, it's too late now because history has already happened, right?
Yeah.
So the languages cannot be erased. But you could have dual language. You have countries like Switzerland and many other countries that have dual languages and stuff as their official languages. And the Wolof, you talked about uniting them. Mm-hmm. I know in Ghana we have the tree, the Santi tree, right? Mm-hmm. Which everyone tree, speaks, which could be, but you have people who are not Asante saying, no, we don't want that to be our national language. You know, so I don't know if that will be the sort of situation that will happen in Senegal, where the smaller tribes, even though they may speak Wolof, feeling like it will elevate the Wolof tribe and leave the other, you know, people out
and
of
I think,
but it.
And
it, I think it, I mean, it's a language that unifies them.
Yeah, and that is something that probably is going to be common in most African countries. If they want to move away from like the French West Africa, French is the common language that unifies everybody, right? In East Africa, it's, you know, English, but in Kenya, we have two, as you said, Kwesi, two national languages, Swahili and English. But we do have other tribes who speak their language, but Swahili is what is what
most
is
of the Kenyans speak
common.
Swahili, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tanzania, same thing. Uganda is
Asante.
Fiti. Asante, Mambo. You know, we have that. You know, Uganda.
Even
you
even some Congolese, DRC, they speak Swahili.
Swahili, yeah. So they speak Swahili, they speak Lingala, and they speak French. You know, so
you go to Tanzania, mainly Swahili now.
It's mainly Swahili. And Swahili is the language that is official language, yes.
But to your point, Kaboshi, the French language is in Africa, in French colonized Africa, it's really benefiting the French language, actually. Because French is about 65 million people. 65. So if you just want to say there are 65 million people that speak French, if there were no African countries speaking French, French would be really a minority language.
Minority, yeah. wouldn't even be among the list of languages looked at the United Nations, right?
Exactly.
Well, you could say you could make the same case for English.
For English,
because England, if it's not for the colonies, England speaking English.
So that's why they're doing everything to come up with what they call francophonie, which means that a relation with French speaking countries, and French is taking advantage of that. That's
like
one of the reasons that they are so that's why they're so scared that we don't want to lose this, because if we
a minority.
Oh, we become a minority.
But you know what? Maybe keep French, keep it, but let it not be the official, like, spoken. Like, it's there, like, for communication purposes for those who still want to use it. But or mix it with Wolof. I mean, really, because that's what language is, right? You mix and blend it and make it your own.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the case of Mali, of course, the Bambara, very old language, very old.
Yeah.
And the Bambara is spoken in most of this West Africa. No, Gambia, Senegal. Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, Niger. Niger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Bambara, they have a different name from country to country. Some we call it Jula, some we call it Bamana. And so forth. It's huge.
Oh, cool.
You are listening to Africa Straight Talk. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you find your podcast. Africa Straight Talk, Africa's unapologetic podcast.
Oh, speaking of West African countries, what the hell is going on in Togo?
Wow. The new constitution of Togo transformed the country's government system from a presidential to a parliamentary regime. What do you guys think about
that? What does that mean? What does that mean, actually?
It means that no more presidential election.
The parliament will pick the president. You pick the parliament. The parliament will pick the president, but it's Yadema. It's not Yadema. Nyasimbe, what's his last name again?
It's his father's name.
Yeah, Yadema's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Junior.
Junior.
Yadema Junior, yes.
Yeah. President for Yasimbe.
Yasimbe, yes. Mm-hmm. Yasimbe, he's trying to go to 2031, right?
Yeah.
If he does that. But
wow,
we know that when come 2031 again, he's going to do another move.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
These African leaders are known for that.
Like, how do you even come up with these things? Like, do you even see?
Look.
It's crazy.
That ruled from 67 all the way to 2005 when he died, right? 67. All the way. So 67 when they took Olympia out, right? Olympio.
Sylvanus Olympio.
Yeah. That was a very good guy, by the way. And then they took him out. And then all the way down to 2005, he ruled. Mm-hmm. And then he passed it on to his son. Now, what that tells me is the monarchy system that we had before the arrival of the Europeans. Democracy is new to us. Having to step away from power is new to us. You know, that's why I always credit people like Rawlings for stepping away from power.
Yeah.
You know, after his term was over.
Also, the first president of Senegal, who was Senghor.
Yeah,
Senghor. He finishes, he doesn't want to run anymore. Yeah, he
stepped aside.
Just left. Yeah, step aside.
And so those become powerful symbols. Look at this guy. What's his name? From Liberia. Sirleaf, Weah, and all these, but they finish and then they step aside. And then they let, you know, all that stuff happens. But
then you have these crazies.
We do.
Like, what is this succession nonsense?
But you know, also, the whole thing is, that's all it boils down to.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, Yadema Jr. Yasimbe.
Yasimbe.
Yeah. Is really a puppet of the puppet government France wants in Togo. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Man.
So
and what do the people say? Are the people
They are protesting. They say that they say that
have an election on the 20th.
Yeah.
Of this month.
So it is what a constitutional coup is. That's exactly what
it is. It's a constitutional coup. Five people from the opposition have been locked up for nothing.
Yeah. And you know how this type of president
order, he says.
These president do it. They will pack the assembly and the senate with the people and their party. Therefore, if it's the parliament that's going to be voting for the president, it's going to be him. Because most of the parliament is full of his
people,
His people, you know?
Oh my God. I mean,
this is what it is.
You know, I think maybe we should just, Africa should, or some of these countries just need, they should just go back to the way things were before colonialists. Let's have father, son, grandson rule and you know, kick them out if they're doing bad things. And then we have whoever's kicked them out, we'll have like the father, son, grandson rule. Why? Seriously, because it feels like they want to go back to the way things were before. Mm-hmm. So why the hell not? Right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know.
I mean, kings and the queens at the time, the period that you are speaking of, they were nice. They were nice to their people. They were nice to their people.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, you have father and son and the family taking over. They are not nice to the people. They're just for themselves. So I think people are denouncing the reform as a forceful takeover.
Yeah.
And they call for a referendum. It should have put forward a referendum, you know, instead of coming with this decree and then that's
A referendum would have been defeated. and that would not look good for him.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Exactly.
To what?
Yeah.
To orchestrate my extension?
Exactly.
No, it's not going to work. Exactly. And so now he wants the parliament, which he has the majority in the parliament.
Exactly.
He's the ones electing the president. That's taking power away from the people. That's
being the people.
It is. Mm. That's what
he's taking power away. He's shifting power from the people to himself.
Yeah. And he's going to say, well, I didn't ask for it. The parliament, the one that put me there, they want me to be there. Yeah? And they are all these people.
I don't understand why he actually thought that he will succeed with what he did. Because people now are very much aware of their rights. They're very much aware of what's going on. People read. Mm-hmm. We have social media. We have so much quick access to information that you shouldn't do things like this and expect people to just bow down and kiss the ground that you walk on.
Yeah.
Really? I hope he doesn't succeed.
Well, speaking of
wanted to hold on to power?
Yassim Junior. We have another junior in Uganda. In Uganda. Museveni appointed his son as the new Uganda Chief of Defense Force, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is his plan to watch the egg and the nest.
Are you guessing? You know? Come on, Nana.
He probably is.
Okay.
How long has Museveni been president of Uganda? Let me find out.
So I am referring to the presidency. Mm-hmm. He needs someone from his family to wash the
seat. That's
a
succession plan.
Yeah.
That is succession plan.
That's all that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. In case someone else dare to come close to the
first
seat.
First of all, if you're the military, right, if there's going to be any coup, you have the power of the forces, the armed forces behind you, if you are the head.
Yeah.
He didn't appoint him as a minister of some education or something. No.
No.
He appointed him as the people who control the power in that country.
You know what? This is the same thing that Alassane Ouattara of Ivory Coast did. He has his son who is a minister of defense and interior.
Mm-hmm. Did Bongo not do the same thing too? Somebody did that in Malawi or somewhere? I can't remember. They put their son in charge of the military. But it's an old trick.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not even a guess. And to the people of Uganda, it's not a guess. They all know.
It's a deliberate thing.
You don't want them that have found out?
It's a plan.
Even the people in Ugandans, I have Ugandan friends who are even, they're in the U.S., the ones I know, right? They'll criticize him in private, but afraid to public.
They fear him.
Even till today, they're afraid of him.
Yeah.
They're afraid of him.
Because you have family back home, and if they know that...
On social media about him, they don't. You got to give it up to Bobby Wine and all those people who are bold enough to stand up to them.
I know Bobby Wine came over here in the United States. We interviewed him as a matter of fact.
I remember.
There's a documentary about him, right? I think it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Or something.
Yeah. They banned it in Uganda.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, they didn't want people to watch it in Uganda.
But that's stupid because they will still watch it.
Yeah,
they will.
Everybody has the social media; they can watch it on their phone.
The story of Uganda is a sad one. You know, they had a coup, then Idi Amin took over, and then Obote took over. I mean, it's just I think people at that time were exhausted with the coups and the tyranny. So when Museveni came in and he was, he brought about some stability and some peace, people were like, this is what we want. This is how we want to stay. And we are happy. But he's been in power for almost 40 years. And I mean, it's time to get out. And we don't want your son. And your son is already doing a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, he wants to attack Kenya.
He's very, very immature. Completely immature. So imagine him as a president.
Yeah.
What is he going to do? He's just going to be a tyrannical person. But that could be a good thing because he might get kicked out. Now, exactly. Bobby Wine might rise and be more powerful.
Yeah.
Right? And get him out. So who knows? The tables might turn.
Let's hope so. Okay, so a nicer note, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, they have elected the first ever female prime minister.
Not elected, appointed.
Appointed. Right, I'm sorry. So I think it's great.
It came as a surprise to them. I have a friend, one of their MPs is my friend. She ran for MP. She used to be here and she went back to go take care of her mom's business. And now her mom was an MP. And now she's the MP. She took over her mom's seat just this past December and November. And a lot of women are excited. She is excited. A lot of women are excited because it came as a surprise. It came as a surprise when, you know, the new president appointed a woman.
She's called Judith Suminwa.
Yeah. We're yet to see the, you know, the outcomes. The problems are so much. There's the, you know, the violence in the southern part, There's the exploitation of the Western world happening. The minerals being taken away. There's unemployment, and so she's promised to help create jobs. She's promised to, you know, help bring about a good resolution to the violence in the southern part. It's not going to be an easy feat, so we'll see.
It's not. And I'm reading from Reuters. They, you know, what she said here. I'm aware of the great responsibility. We will work for peace and development of the country. I mean, that's very general and very broad. But you know, it's the first thing to acknowledge that this is something heavy, right? So it's going to take time. But we're going to start doing things and you're going to start seeing things. So that's great. That's great.
I personally think that her first mission should be to tackle the rape and violence that is perpetrated against women in the conflict zone of the country and come up with harsh punishments to the perpetrator, you know, when they are caught. I think that she should really do that.
Yeah, because if you're going to be like, we're going to root out corruption. No, you're not. Now you're lying.
No.
That's the thing. People are Pollyannish about corruption. They think corruption is culture. Corruption is culture. I'll give you an example. For instance, in Ghana, right? When people, let's say you work at the DVLA, which is like the DMV, right? You're in a civil service. We provide service to the public.
Yeah.
When your paycheck is not what takes care of you, it's the people who are coming to take shortcut and want to pay a bribe. That's what takes care of you. The corrupt system.
Yes.
They depend on the corrupt system. That paycheck, let's say you get paid $100, you can make $200-$300 on top of your paycheck by those little side money, right?
Yes.
So when you go to work every day, you're not excited to see the people coming through the proper channels. You're excited to see people coming through the corrupt channels, right? And so people are dependent on the corruption. They're dependent. Yeah. I was even asking a question yesterday on Facebook. I was like, okay, how about the Christians in Ghana? Now, when you go to church, you have to give 10% of your income as tithe, right? So do you calculate all the corruption money?
And what were the comments?
Of course they didn't respond. But or you just give God your paycheck, 10% of your paycheck. And your God, who sees in secret, you know, will know all your needs. But people are in church every day. Some of them even go to church every day, weekdays. You know, it's, corruption is part of the culture. So when politicians come and they say, I'll get rid of corruption, I say, how? How?
Yeah.
What's the alternative you could put in place for them? In Ghana, they raised, we had a president, what's his name, Atta Mills. He raised the wages of all the public workers. When he raised the wages of the public workers, they said, yes, thank you. And they went back to corruption. again.
No, of course. No, that's all over the continent.
Did he raise it by 2% or by 100%?
But he put a system in place where, you know, they adjusted for inflation and all that stuff, and they gave them raise. But we still, you know, this I'm not mm-hmm. going to look away from the side money.
All right, folks. Next time we'll come back with some other stuff, okay? Africa Straight Talk is presented by me, Emmanuel Nadeau, and Kaboshi Mbunkwa, with the collaboration of Kwesi Wilson, host of the podcast Telling Tall Stories. Thank you, Kwesi.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. A pleasure.
Find more episodes on our website, www.africastraighttalk.com. You can also find us wherever you find your podcasts. We are on X at Africans Talk, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Africa Straight Talk. And of course, don't forget to tell your friends about us. To become a sponsor of our growing podcast, email us at africastraighttalk@gmail.com. Until next time, Senado.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We invite you to check back here for our next one. In the meantime, be safe, be well, and love one another. We'll be right back.